All right, we're making history on the CTB show today because for the first time ever, I'm not the best football player on the pod. We got Marlon Humphrey, all-pro corner from the Baltimore Ravens, joining the show today. Marlon, what's going on, man?
Man, nothing much. In the good old city of the Toronto.
You got to drop.
If you're a there local, it is.
If you're a local, you drop the second T. That's how you know if you're from Toronto or not. No one says Toronto.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more hip. I got a lot of A's, but I just say A all the time.
Yeah, that's very Canadian.
And it kind of does flow natural. I do like that. It's different, but life is good. Life is good.
You enjoying the city?
Loving the city, honestly. It's I guess I came out here for the first time. I don't know when it was the first time I came out here, but I loved it. It was like coming from Alabama, there's definitely not as much diversity. So I'm like outside and I'm like very few, I feel like, cities you can't really tell who's the dominant race of the city. Here I'm seeing like a little bit of everything. And then I came out the first time and then I wanted to have a party. I told my friend I wanted to have an all-white party. Like, I'd never been to one. And then he was like, why don't we just throw you one? I was like, why not? So it ended up being in Toronto. Had the all-white party. I've been a frequent visitor ever since.
Yeah, I mean, you rarely see that. Like, when we found out that you reside here quite often in the off seasons, at least even during the seasons, I don't know, but you even like with other sports, you see everyone says, oh, nobody wants to play in Toronto, right? Like, nobody wants to play in Toronto, you gotta cross the border, right? You gotta pay a bunch of taxes. But like, it's really cool to see, especially in the NFL, which is predominantly like an American sport, to see someone like yourself come to our city. We think it's the coolest thing ever. And I mean, we've been big fans of you for a while, but we saw that you did something with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You did, you went to York University where we both play hockey. And you had a pretty good shot on yourself. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, for some odd reason, I don't know why, like my mom used to take us skating for like, not often, but there's this place, I think it was called like the Pelham in the States. It was called the Pelham something. And we used to just go skating. And I just, for some reason, I could just always skate. Like, it never was like, I was never wanted to like walk around on the edge holding on the whole time. And so my friend that set up the white party, Josh, he's just like, bro, I'm gonna get you a jersey and all this stuff. And I was like, let's do it. I like doing side missions, so it was cool. But I will say, social media is kind of, it can fool you. That shot was not me. I did the beginning, and then I had someone else there like edit the end, and then I was just like, oh, so it was like, it looked sick. I will say it looked pretty fire. But I have to say it was not me. But I'm happy that it looked like that.
Have you been out to a league game before?
Yes, I went to the Leafs first Florida team that they got upset and they went in extra
overtime.
I'm mad I left. I left early. They were up by like two. Found out they went in overtime. Oh, it was on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, they're playing wearing green jerseys.
Right? Green jerseys. Yeah. I wanted one of those. It was kind of fire. And then I also went and saw Edmonton.
So
I'm trying to get to all my, you know, being that I live here in the offseason, I'm trying to get to more. I went to Banff.
Yeah, beautiful.
Banff. It was, so I'm trying to, there's a couple other places I got to go. I'm very American when it comes to, like, I thought for the longest it was like Toronto, Canada. I didn't even know what the Ontario thing was. I was like, what is this Ontario thing?
The provinces.
Yeah, the provinces. So I'm figuring out I didn't really realize how big the provinces are. They're like, they're just not that, what, seven?
Ten. There's territories as well.
Ten provinces, right?
Yeah.
Territories.
I don't understand the territory part.
Yeah. You've been here. I've been here my whole life, and I just went to Banff for the first time last summer, and I thought Banff was awesome. Like, it's like such a cool spot, right? It just the Rockies. It's like, it was beautiful. I went with my girlfriend, and I thought it was like honestly one of the most beautiful places I've been to. So the fact that you came here and went there straight there, it took me 24 years to go there. 24
years,
so,
yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean.
What have you noticed about, because, I mean, doing this, when people find out we're from Canada, a lot of them are shocked that, you know, we're so, I guess, in love with the NFL. We're such big fans. Have you noticed anything about, like, a Canadian NFL fan base in the time you've been here at all?
Yeah, a lot of, most people I tell that I play football, they're like, they definitely don't really know. I always bring up hockey whenever, like, I say I'm a professional athlete. They're like, a lot of people know, like, the CFL stuff. A lot know the CFL. But, no, it's definitely not a huge NFL. Last time I was at a Zach Bryan concert here, I was getting all the rules of the CFL. So, a lot of people love the CFL, obviously. It's freaking Canadian Football League. But not that much NFL talk with most people. The rules in the CFL are very interesting. I think some of them actually could get adopted by the NFL. There's a couple of rules that make things very exciting, like, I feel like.
Yeah, really? The three downs.
I think the three downs. One that's just insane is the you can punt to yourself.
You get the one point.
Yeah, like you can.
Oh, you're talking about the onside kick.
Like the one point, but then the punt thing too. Yeah, and then I saw like a, dude, all right, so this is what I did not understand. I saw this clip and it went viral. This team was down probably, I don't know, anywhere from like, probably like 17 points. The other team was, they were down, the other team was up. They were on offense. The team that was up was on offense. They ran the ball, fumbled. The other team picked it up and scored a touchdown. They then either went for two or extra point, or they did another play. They lost the game by at least 10 points, and they were celebrating. And I still don't, I'm talking about took helmet off the field, they stormed the field. No one was in the stands, but I still don't understand why they were celebrating. And I don't think that was CFL. I think that was like high school or something, college or whatever. I still don't understand how you celebrate after losing by 10. I was very confused. So there's some stuff in CFL that I just do not know, that I just not making all the most sense. But I do think there's some rules that are kind of cool.
It's a pretty exciting game, I got to say. Some of the rules, once you, I think, come around on them, it leads for, like, I was at the Grey Cup this year, one of the craziest football games I've ever been at. But the team that actually won the Grey Cup was the Montreal Alouettes, and I bring them up because it's my understanding that you tried poutine for the first time.
Oh, man.
That's like Montreal classic is poutine, and I've heard mixed reviews. I've talked to a lot of American athletes that play in the CFL, and I always get their take on it. What do you have about that?
Man, so I think I had a... Dude, I had poutine like one of the first times I came out here, and they're like, yo, you get some poutine, like it was late. I don't know if like there's obviously good places, bad places to get stuff. I got the poutine and it was just like, it was horrible. Like I don't know how else to really describe this place poutine. So maybe I need to go to the best poutine. It's an odd. It's just not okay. I didn't know if it was supposed to be.
I love it.
He's a poutine guy.
But you gotta go to Montreal. Have you been to Montreal?
I've not been to Montreal.
I don't get it. I can't get. I don't like gravy to begin with, so I'm not like a gravy with cheese curds.
I do like gravy though. What is a Canadian food besides poutine?
That's a lot of gamey like meat. Like a lot of Canadians, if you go out west, right? Like they eat elk and like venison, deer, right? Like.
That's just like normally on a menu.
Yeah, like that's, I mean, when you go out there, there's no true Canadian food in Toronto because it's so diverse.
There's so many different cultures here.
There's so many different cultures. And I mean, like for Toronto, like the Italian cuisine's awesome. Like the Asian fusion cuisine's awesome. Like there's, you can't really find like a true Canadian meal in Toronto. You'd have to go elsewhere, right? Because it's such a diverse city. Like it's almost
it's very diverse, right?
It's not really Canadian anymore. It's like got all these different nationalities. But I mean, I want to go and talk about your early days as a college athlete and growing up in Bama, playing for your hometown. Like that is awesome, and winning a national championship, and then ultimately going on to get drafted as a 20-year-old kid. Like that is in its own just remarkable. Like it's such a cool thing to be drafted, but then like also to come in such a like the NFL is such a it's a macho league, you know what I mean? Like it must have been very intimidating to come into a league like that at 20 years old. But touch on your time in Alabama. Like how cool was it did you grow up a Bama fan, like in playing for that team? Was it
so I like I would say I grew up as when I was like younger like you know, middle school and elementary, like as a Bama fan, just because my dad played there. And so we went to some games. It's like when we were younger, it was cool. I even like got like when I was in elementary school, I had like a picture of me with like the red Alabama wig. So for like hair. And so I guess I was a fan then. And then as I kind of got older to like high school, I kind of just was kind of just whatever. I wouldn't really say I really cheered for any teams. And then obviously I started taking the visits. You know, my top schools were Florida State, Mississippi State, and Bama. So I remember going through that process. I liked Mississippi State a lot, but it just never really seemed like it was not enough developed, but just, you know, they just didn't kind of seem like enough, the true NFL pipeline. And then Florida State was, I liked Florida State a lot. Like Florida State was, I mean, maybe the school outside of football probably like is what I liked a lot there. but it ultimately, when it comes, like I just kind of made it, I looked at, you know, what are my goals and dreams. And that was basically just to win a national championship and get drafted in the first round. And looking at, you know, Saban's pedigree at the time, it was like, this dude sent, you know, I was looking up to guys like D. Milliner, Drake Kirkpatrick, you know, Javier Arenas, you know, Mark Barron, these like, just so many at the time. Bama was just sending specifically all over, but specifically DBs to the league in the first two rounds. Like, oh, yeah. Just every year, there was just somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I felt Alabama and LSU at the time, there was no better place for a cornerback to choose other than Alabama and LSU. Yeah. And so LSU wasn't recruiting me at all. So when it came down to decision time, it was like, it was just a simple business decision. So, but it was a lot, man. You come into college, and it's like, you're like, yo, what were you in high school? And it's like, oh, I was All-State. Yeah. I was like the best in my city. It was like, so every single guy is the best. When you go to Bama, every single guy was the best. It's the first time they'll ever be around a group of people that they weren't the best. And so you get there. I redshirted my first year. They never really told me I was redshirting. And redshirting is just basically you just can't play your first year. I don't know if you guys know that. So my coach told me that I was going to, like, play special teams. He told me, like, in the first game ever that it was going to be a time I was going to get to play punt. I was going to get to run down, hopefully tackle somebody. So I'm like, before the game, I'm like, yo, mom, like, look, I ain't going to play on defense. But he said he's going to put me out there at some point. So every time, like, the first game, I'm like, I knew I wasn't going to play in the first quarter, the second quarter. But then I'm like, you know, third quarter comes around. I'm like, they call the punt team up. I'm like, looking at them. Like, is it? Nah, he just looks away and coaches, you know, like, I did that for the next, like, five or six times, and it just never happened, and then it was probably, I was still hopeful that I might play, because I used to practice with the twos, I, like, run reps in practice with the twos, so it was probably, I don't know what game, we were playing Texas A&M, and post Johnny Manziel, so we were playing Texas A&M, we're beating them 49-0, I think. And the starters were still in. So, like,
Saban doesn't play around.
Yeah, because, yeah, Saban doesn't play around. And, like, he wants you to get your work in. Like, if you're beating somebody 49-0 in the second quarter, he's not just going to pull everybody. So I'm chilling with all the other freshmen, and they're like, yo, man, coach said I'm going in. Coach said I'm going in. I'm like hearing everybody say that. I'm like, dang, coach ain't telling me I was going in. So it was that game that I realized, like, I'm not going to play this year. It was all cool. You know, the next year, like for me, it was like, dang, like, so I'm thinking, like, after the season, I'm like, we ended up losing Ohio State, in the first college football playoff. So I'm like, man, how can I, like, get on the field this next year? And so I just kind of tried to really ball out that spring, had a pretty good spring game. And then the next year I was able to win the starting job in camp. And then it kind of just went from there. I was able to start 2 years and then get drafted by the Ravens. And, now I'm here, going into year 8.
NFL drafts obviously coming up soon. And how was that whole, like, first-round process for you going into the draft? Did you have, like, a clear idea of a couple teams that were going to select you or even where you were going to go in the draft?
Yeah, I think the draft is crazy because some guys, like, straight up teams tell them, like, if you're there, we'll draft you, I think. And then there's other guys similar to me where you're like, you basically, you know a team or two that's going to get you in there. I feel like there's some guys that just know nothing. But most for the most part, you get like a good feel. For me, it was the Titans. So I forgot who was the DC at the time, but he basically told me, we're getting a corner. They had two first-round draft picks. They had number like 5 and number 18.
And I think they took Corey Davis,
They
right?
took Corey Davis. Yeah. They told us, like, we're picking wide receiver in a corner. But they didn't know which way, which order. They were trying to, I guess, gauge off who went where. And I felt like I was the guy they were going to take at 5. So then I'm getting Corey Davis and Adoree. So it's crazy. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be, like, in the top 10 probably. But, like, we were watching the draft as a family, like, I was about to go number one. Like, we're like, locked into the TV. Like, no one's, like, talking. And then after, like, the first, like, 4 picks, it just, like, when you have someone that is about to get drafted and you're with them in the room, the draft is, like, 3 times longer. So, like, after pick 5 or 6, we're, like, talking to each other, not even paying attention. 10 goes by, the first corner goes off the board, Marshon Lattimore. And then my mom, I didn't really realize this, but my mom leaves the room because I had like an overflow room for like all of my family. I was going to go to the draft, but I was like, nah, because if I don't get drafted, then that's awkward. So I didn't go to the draft. I just had my family at my house. So my mom gets up, and what I didn't know is she's telling people that someone texted my dad that I'm getting drafted at pick number 18 by the Titans. So she leaves, goes to this, it's like, hey guys, get ready to start coming in because he's going to get a call. And this is on probably like pick like 14 or whatever. And so as she's doing that, I actually get the call from the Ravens at 16. And I'm like talking to him and everyone's like, who is it? And I'm like, I don't know. I missed, like, I'm kind of mad that they started recording those draft calls after me.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know what got said on the phone conversation. I'm just saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. And they saying something. I'm like, they're asking me, who is it? I'm like, guys, I don't know. Like, I don't even know who I'm talking to. I'm just saying, like, yes, sir. Like whatever you're saying, like, I'm good with it. So it ends up being the Ravens. And then, yeah, I remember the first thing. I'm like, dang, I feel like it's, like, really cold in Baltimore. And then I go out there. And it was cool, man. It was Joe Flacco was QB, Eric Weddle, Tony Jefferson, Jimmy Smith, Brandon Carr on defense, Sizz. So it was cool. It was but it's definitely a when you realize you've been in Alabama all your life, as you go more north in the states, especially that East Coast, all that area, people are a little less southern. So that was probably like the only, I really realized I have not really, even though I traveled for sports all over the U.S., I realized I hadn't really lived anywhere that was up north. And it was an adjustment to, like, I think I, like, my first week there, I like held the door open for somebody and she like got mad at me. My Uber driver like cussed me out because I was taking too long. And I'm just like, okay, like, this is just a little different than the South, where somebody will, like the other day, I'm in an Uber, leave my wallet in the car. Like 30 minutes later, somebody comes back looking for me, and he brought back my wallet that I left in the car. I don't know if he would have took the money, but it was Canadian dollars, so he didn't think it was even like money. So that kind of saved me on that aspect. He was like, I think you left something. I'm like, oh, like my wallet. He's like, no, it wasn't a wallet. I'm like, bro, the money's like right there. So he didn't even think that crap was money. He probably was like, I don't know what this paper is, but so that type of stuff. But that was probably the biggest adjustment. And then, you know, I was like the last era of probably like, I guess I was the last era of like right before you really started getting paid. So I see a big difference in the landscape of the NFL of when those guys on the first rounders come in. Yeah. Like, they're just a little, I'm not going to say they're privileged, but they're the transfer, you can just, they've had a lot more flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was at Bama, a lot of guys used to come and be like, man, I'm leaving. Like, I'm leaving, bro. Like, I'm out of here, man. Like, screw this, man. Go upstairs, talk to Saban. they come back down, they're like, yeah, I'm not leaving. Yeah, I'm not leaving. Like, so, like, I mean, that doesn't, like, that obviously doesn't happen anymore. That stopped happening, like, literally, I think maybe 1 or 2 years after. You know, because Saban used to be able to, like, block you transferring, and sometimes he would just, like, you know, talk you out of it. Like, he could bring you down. And I think now there's just so much opportunity, I guess, or, yeah, you know, I don't know what you, whatever way you want to call it. Now it's NIL, so it's I think it's just money, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, so it's just a little different, but you can tell, not that I'm like super old, but you can tell from the attitude guys that come in, they're just a little bit, they're a little bit different. And it's not, it has nothing to do with, like, I mean, they're still ballers, obviously, but it's just different. Like, that's something I've noticed as like a, as a freaking seasoned vet, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you are, right? Like, and everybody has, like, the prototypical, like, welcome to the league moment. Like, did you have one, like, as a 20-year-old kid? Like, I know you played quite a bit. Like,
yeah, my welcome to the league was probably, my welcome to the league was probably Le'Veon Bell. It's crazy that Pittsburgh team didn't win a Super Bowl when you look at it. I just remember trying to game plan for prime Le'Veon Bell, and when Big Ben was still throwing people off with one hand, still slinging it. And I just remember trying to game plan for that. The stuff we would put in was like kind of just crazy to try to stop those guys. And even when you did everything right, you just dump it off to Le'Veon and he gets another 15 yards. So it's like, it was crazy. But I remember Mike Tomlin is he talks a lot of crap. Like, yeah, I feel like most coaches don't, but he does. So I'm on the sideline, and Le'Veon Bell comes, and I hit him. I hit him down low, and I realize he's like still completely standing. He basically ran me over, but he went out of bounds. So, you know, tackle's tackle, and so I realized, like, I forget what Mike Tomlin said. He said something about 29, whatever. And like, it was kind of like you get ran over on the other team's sideline. There's going to be a lot of chirping. Going to be a lot of chirping. But what made it worse was I got a stinger, so I couldn't feel my arm. And I'm like trying to get up, like tough. You know, then I looked down and I realized, like, I couldn't feel my fingers and his towel was stuck in between my fingers. So I'm like holding his towel, and then I tried to throw it off and it was just numb. And I'm just like, I got to hit these running backs way lower. That was like my welcome. Like, this is not college. You're not bucking people down to the ground. And it's weird because the league guys get a lot smaller, but they're usually stronger and faster. Like, everyone's fast. Like,
yeah.
O-linemen, like, that was probably the biggest thing. It's like, I hit a tight end, I think, in that same game. And it's like, bro, you can't just be thinking you can just hit people the same way you did in college. So that was probably like, I think that was a primetime game at their place. That was probably like my welcome to the league moment. I started my last 4 games my rookie year because Jimmy had he got like suspended. Yeah. So I was playing a little throughout the like special teams, a little bit of corner here and there. But those are like my those last 4 games are like my first times really getting playing.
That's crazy. And you mentioned like college is, everyone that's there was the best, and then that's even more so in the NFL. So it's crazy. Like, the level of skill is just out of this world. You mentioned the Steelers, and I wanted to ask you a question because I saw Lamar having some fun on social media when your buddy PQ ended up signing with the Steelers. Yeah. And I know Geno Stone had a like unreal season for you guys too.
Yeah.
He's going to the Bengals.
Yeah.
So it's like the AFC North. If it wasn't spicy already, now you got like former Ravens trading sides.
Yeah, we got a lot of Ravens trading sides. I think, I don't know. I had to text both of them. I really had to text PQ. You know, like Gino, I understood he's an Ohio guy. I mean, he's a PA guy, so maybe he wanted to stay closer to home. I don't really know. But PQ was like crazy surprising. I was like, bro, to the ops? Like the ops, ops. Like Bengals is the ops, but like, Steelers are like the ops, you know what I mean? So that was, it's pretty spicy now, I think. We got nobody going to the Browns, I feel like, that switch sides. But I think the AFC North will be the, like, head and shoulders, the most competitive, division this year. I mean, if the quarterbacks stay healthy, This past year, it's even crazier with Deshaun and freaking Joe. So if those two guys, you know, stay healthy, I think it's even crazy. And then Russell Wilson, it's like it should be a crazy year in the AFC North. I think there will be a lot of primetime games when they match those up within the division. And that's the thing. If you can like win that division, if you can just beat the teams in that division,
yeah.
If you can sweep, then you're that squad. So yeah. That's always the first goal for us is to win our division, win the North. So if we can do that, we'll be pretty good. But I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited for Russell to be in there. I'm excited for Joe to be healthy. You know, it's guys love competition, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what year it was. We were playing the Jets. They were not very good. And it's weird. It's sometimes when you're playing a team that is, the reason why you see so many, anybody can be anybody in the NFL. But there's like certain times of the year where certain teams just almost, I'm not going to say they give up, but they essentially almost just give up. And I believe it was later in the year, it was against the Jets, and they just weren't, it was almost seemed like when you're going against someone that's not really all the way in it, it's sometimes it's not even that pleasurable to play. So it's like the big games everyone gets up for. Those are like the easiest games to get up for. And it makes it just super exciting. The prime times, I mean, some guys only want to play primetime games. They're just like, bro, I just like, you know what I mean? So it's those games are exciting, but I think the division this year, every single one of those games will be super exciting.
Yeah, you talk about like big game moments and big game players, and like there's a ton of them in the AFC North. And I mean, you want to talk about one specific guy, and I know you saw his transition like coming into the league, and I'm talking about Lamar Jackson coming in as a rookie. I mean, you had Joe Flacco towards the end of his career in your rookie year, but like Lamar Jackson, to see his growth as just a football fan, not someone that's in by any means as close as you are to Lamar Jackson. Like, how has that been to see the growth of Lamar? Because when he came into the league, he was just this crazy athletic kid that, yeah. I mean, was just, to be honest with you, he was like transcendent, right? Like, it's like you've never seen a quarterback like Lamar come into the league and do what he did. And now he's able to now come and beat teams with his arm and his legs. It's like, how, obviously you knew he was going to be special, but what is it like playing alongside Lamar Jackson and like getting to compete against him in practice?
Yeah, with him, I mean, his growth is crazy. Like you said, he came in the league, and I was only 1 year ahead of him, but I remember we played the Chargers, and I think our offense was just kind of built for him to use his legs more. And, you know, they put, like, 8 DBs out there, like, put all these DBs out, put, like, all DBs on the field, basically, even at, like, the linebacker positions, and just were like, we can't let this guy run, like, at all. And so, obviously, he can still throw, but when most of the running is mainly quarterback-driven, I remember they beat us in the playoffs that one time, and then I think the next year he won?
Yeah, the MVP. Yeah, I think it was 2018.
Yeah, 2019.
2019.
Yeah,
so second year.
Yeah, so the very next year. But I think from a football player, he's always been crazy, like balling. But I think this past year, his mindset was a little bit different. I think he took on the vocal route. And it was interesting. It was definitely new. It was proud for me to see. Just because, you know, when you're a quarterback, you're the leader no matter what. Like, you're supposed to be the leader. Like, you don't have to be the top leader, but your voice matters like more than anybody else's voice. And so this past year, you know, all he talked about was Super Bowl. How can we get to the Super Bowl? How can we do this? Team speeches, different things. If the standard wasn't there, he was going to say something about it, which in the past hadn't been like, and it wasn't like just to the offense, it was to anybody. I played like a bad game against, I think it was the Rams. He was like, bro, you got to play better. And so that type of stuff is, it was cool to see that just because when you're as good as an athlete as he is, when you're as humble as he is, like, that's probably the most surprising thing, how, like, humble he is. But when you do all those traits, whatever you say, people listen. It's one thing if you're not, you know, walking the walk. Like, anyone can just talk, but when you're walking the walk, your talk goes a long way. And so I think that was probably the biggest thing he did. He was, you come to the weight room, he's in there working out. So those type of, doing extra lifts, doing extra this, those type of things goes just such a long way, I think, for young guys to see, for older guys to see, for anybody, just, and for the organization. I mean, he signs a really big contract, obviously, and it just seems like a lot of times you don't see someone sign a contract and take everything that they're doing a whole nother level. And so that was probably it was just, this past year was just different. It was truly like a inspiration to be on the team with him. And so I'm just happy he's as humble as he is. And, you know, I hope he just keeps doing what he's doing.
Yeah. I think one of the cool parts about, you know, being NFL fans from Canada, all the NFL fans here, cause there's no local team, like there's no really like local allegiance, and the amount of Ravens fans I've noticed in like the last 5 years in this area has just gone up like a crazy amount. And obviously he's a huge part of that.
Yeah. He it's like, I think it's funny because, like, we have one of the better media teams in the league, like, probably, like, top three. But since he's come on the team, it's, like, all the numbers are just, like, double, like, Instagram followers, Twitter followers. And so it's just the Truz year when he was big Truz.
Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram, it was, like, he became a fan favorite for sure. The dude really just be chilling. Like, it's kind of crazy because you think, like, oh, why doesn't he have, like, more commercials? Why doesn't he have this? He'd just be like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm okay on that. Like, he really just plays ball, like, enjoys life and just be chilling. Like, he's super – he used to come to more, like, team events, like not team events, like players. Like, let's say you're having a Halloween party for, like, charity. And then it just started getting, like, so, like – whenever he'd come, everyone would just line up, and everyone in the entire building would take a picture with him. So he can't do as much of that type of stuff anymore, just because it'll basically end up being just a photo shoot for him the entire time. But he's by far the most humble dude, like, superstar I've ever been around, like, not even close.
Wow,
I mean, like, it's honestly crazy. Like, I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan. Thomas is a Dolphins fan. So, like, to see,
Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboy fan. It's in my blood. Like, we want to go talk about the city of Toronto and just Canada and the NFL in Canada. Like, you look back maybe 40 years, right, when my dad was growing up. Yeah, 35, 40 years ago. Not every game was on TV like it is now, right? So the teams that were on TV were the Cowboys, the Niners, the Packers, the Steelers. So I hate the Steelers just as much as you hate the Steelers. So my cowboy fandom runs deep in my family. My dad, his three brothers, they're all Cowboy fans. But, and same with it, like, the Dolphins were on TV too, right? That's why your dad was a Dolphins fan with Marino, right? So, like, that's sort of why you see more often than not. Now you see Buffalo fans because the Bills are good and NFL is growing, right? They're close, right? 2 hours away. So, like, it's really, really close just to go watch a game. But, going back to Lamar Jackson, seeing his growth from, I mean, he's not on, like, I'm not a Ravens fan, but to watch, as someone that loves the NFL like I do, like, it's just awesome to see, because it's so, like, prototype quarterbacks come in, it's like, it just became boring, like, you know what I mean? Like, Lamar, like, really makes the game fun, right? And it's really cool, and you're seeing a lot more guys like Lamar come up in the college tree, and who knows, maybe you'll see an influx of guys come that have that dual threat, which... the true dual threat. Before, like, you know what I mean, you had your Cam Newtons, but other than that, like Lamar really does it all. So it's crazy to see his growth, and honestly the Ravens' growth, because Baltimore, I mean, you've seen it all. Like, you came in with Joe Flacco and now the whole Lamar Jackson era, but, like, you guys have grown as an organization in the last, like, 5-6 years. Like, you guys are constant Super Bowl contenders, right? And I want to ask you, is the standard in that Ravens building, like, I know you haven't been anywhere else to sort of compare it, but you gotta have, like, known, like, you play alongside guys that have played other teams. Like, is the standard in Baltimore different than other organizations?
Yeah, I think I know a lot of guys come in. I've never been anywhere else, but a lot of guys come in and they always say like, it's different here. Like it's very different here. Like, and very few guys that I know of have come from other places and not like the Ravens. I think, you know, Bashadi, I think this was around, I forget when this was. I'd ask him, hey, like, could I talk to you for a little bit? And it was during I don't know if it was during the off season or during season, whatever it was, we had meetings or whatever. So I go up there and talk to him and I was like, I kind of just want to hear the story about, you know, what this organization is, like how it is now. And he went on and basically was like, you know, when I got the organization, it was in such great hands. I felt the people that, how it was set up, the people here, with everything that was set up, I wanted to make a couple tweaks, but keep things for the most part the same. And I think whenever there's a need for money to be spent on anything, you know, it's changed. We're like, yo, the locker room is this. We get a new locker room. The training room is this. New training room. We just got a new weight room. And so it kind of comes from like the top down as far as the organization. When I first got there, the saying was basically like, there are no rules here, which basically, if you do what you're supposed to do, like, you'll have no problems. And so that just trickles down to, it really feels like home. I think, you know, there's some places where you go and they want you to be somebody else. They want you to act like this. There's, hey, you should be like this. The Ravens, I think, are so welcoming of just, you know, being who you are. If you talk to a lot of the veterans we signed, they leave and they say, this reignited my love for the game of football. And it's just a really big football place. Like, coming from Harbs, if you love football, if you love the game of football, you'll love John Harbaugh. And so I think he's kept the Ravens standard for the past, he's been there for a long time, but he's kept the Ravens standard intact for as long as he's been there. And I think, like, I can't speak enough great things about the place just because I, like, literally love it. I feel like I got, you know, legit family in there. I send, like, my brother, I took him into we have a basketball court in the back, and I took him in there one day. I guess he got cool with whoever in the building. And, like, the next day, he walked past me in the hallway. He didn't even hit me up. He didn't say anything. He walked past me in the hallway just going to the gym. I'm like, bro, you're not even going to say, like, hated me? I didn't know you were here. So, like, it truly has felt like legit, like, home. It's been great. But that standard, that edge, I think, I'm not going to say we ever lost that kind of defensive edge, but I think when Roquan came, when Sizz was here, it was there, then CJ, and then I felt like somewhere small gap in between. I don't know how it went exactly, but we didn't, I'm not going to say we lost that, but the team kind of missed a small chip. Yeah. And I feel like when Roquan Smith came, he kind of helped us get that kind of back. Because that's how organizations go. It's like, before you know it, like, so much turnover is not always good. Sometimes turnover is good. But you kind of can sometimes lose the core values of you know, if your organization has that. Not every organization has, like, known for this. Like, oh, that's deep in some. And so I felt like that football edge, that football standard of how things are going to be done on the defense side of the ball really came back when he came. That dude's just a crazy dude. Like, he's a really elite leader, loves football, and just plays like a wild man. And he really helped get it back.
You mentioned loving the game. Let's go way, way back. 6-year-old Marlon Humphrey, however old you were when you first, you know, strapped on the pair of shoulder pads, how'd you get into the game to begin with?
I got into it, my mom, I think. My mom wouldn't let us play until we were in the sixth grade. And so I think that made me want to play football more, I think, because I couldn't play until the sixth grade. And so my dad was my coach, and I was running back. I think I was running back. And then slowly but surely, like, the rules were like you couldn't play the same position the entire game, like on offense or defense. You couldn't play one position the entire game. So when I wasn't running back, my dad's like, all right, cool. We're just going to put you a quarterback. We're just going to do Wildcat. So then it turned into, all right, like basically screw this. We're just going to have you like, for the most part, like you're just going to play like Wildcat and like running back or whatever. So then I think it turned into like, that's still like the same position basically. Yeah. So it worked or whatever. My dad wanted to let everybody play, basically. So he's like, all right, so this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to keep, like, other teams, you know, guessing. We're going to put you at tight end, and then we're going to just throw you the ball at tight end. So the other guy's going to play quarterback, you know, and get everybody playing, and just throw you the ball at tight end. So then it was, like, it was all sorts of mind games and all stuff, and I was actually playing for the Bengals. I was on the Bengals team, had the orange stripes and everything. And then my defense position was linebacker. So that was like the beginning. We ended up winning the championship that year. We lost to a team earlier in the year, and then we beat them in the championship later that year. And that was kind of where it first all started. Then I go to seventh grade. I was pretty good. And then eighth grade, I just got benched. I literally was just rotting the bench. It was actually pretty wild. I just remember one time in the car, we're riding home, and we were literally talking about wide receiver. Like, I guess I got in at some point, but I just wasn't doing crap. And we were talking about like wide receiver blocking. That was like the what we were talking about in the car. So like, I was not getting any clock at all. And then ninth grade ended up starting, and then it kind of, my first game in high school, varsity, was on ESPN, and we played on ESPN. I had like a pick. Had a really good game in my second game ever. I remember warming up, and I'm like, there's like a coach just with his phone, like just recording me. And I look, and it's Mississippi State after like my second ever high school game. And then I basically got offers from there. And it kind of, I don't ever remember getting offered though, which is kind of weird.
Like a formal offer, you're saying?
I never remember anyone like saying like, we want to offer you a scholarship. Yeah. Or like anything. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention or what, but I feel like that would be a cool memory to have. But I just don't freaking remember it. Like, I don't know if I ever, I feel like I never, I guess it was just known, maybe. Yeah. I don't even know. But that was the first itch was in sixth grade, and then it kind of just went from there.
I mean, like, high school football here is so different. Yeah. Compared to, like,
you guys play CFL rules.
So, yes, I played high school football my grade 11 and 12 year. So, like, same thing. My mom didn't let me play. She was like, no, you're not playing. And I was like, okay, I'm going to play. So grade 11, grade 12, when I was a little bigger, I guess, I started playing. And where I went to high school, it's run by Brazilian priests. So we have, like, a brother school.
It's like a school.
Catholic school? Yeah, it's a Catholic school. So, like, we had a brother school in Houston, which Ed Oliver was their defensive tackle at the time. And we went there, and mind you, this is like legit the first year that I've been playing football. And I will never forget it. We pull up there. It was a Friday night game, and Friday Night Lights is huge there. So I had no idea. We show up to they send us like a coach bus. Like, we're there. We show up to the field. There's like 10,000 fans there. And Ed Oliver was just in Houston. This is in
Texas is crazy.
Yeah,
Texas,
right. Crazy. So it was, I mean, just to see that is like honestly the craziest thing ever. And we ended up losing like 60-3 or something like that. We got a field goal, but they Ed Oliver, we picked up one of our linemen and just like threw him. And they are the starters only played like two possessions. They scored touchdowns on both the first plays. But our only sort of youth level football here is actually we got to get you out there one day. We got a touch football league that we just started, and we try and make our guys feel as professional as possible. Obviously, they ain't pros by any means. I hope not many are listening, but you got to come see it. Have you ever played flag football before, or touch football? I see it in the Olympics now. So
the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Pro Bowl.
The one year I was at the Pro Bowl, we did. That was the first flag year, I think. No, maybe second. I'm not sure, but I did it there. supposed to be in the Olympics. Yeah, no, that's the only.
That's our youth. That's our youth level of football here, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you don't really have like elementary school.
Oh, there's level, not. Have, oh, there's not like no, football like, any younger. Than
no,
high school.
Like elementary school football is like not a thing here. Like they don't.
Pee-wee
have,
is not. Maybe yeah. Like Pee-wee. What about yeah. like middle or?
I feel like middle school. Maybe like youngest is like 12. Maybe they start to have it. But yeah, it's not like it's just not.
I feel like anything yeah. before 12 really isn't too yeah. good anyway.
Yeah, that's like what it's very. We have like one organization where we're from that like is for like Pee-wee football, but like there's really not. It's like really not a popular thing because like people grow up play hockey, right? Basketball's grown. This is like a massive
since the Raptors won,
right? Yeah. Especially since the Raptors, yeah, that's like a youth influx of kids. But yeah, hockey and basketball sort of like the predominant sport here.
I want to touch on just before we wrap up one other sport that's growing, and I know you came from there today because of the attire, and that's the golf course. How is the game?
The game is look, man. I've gotten a serious golf itch, man. I was just telling a story. So I told you guys earlier, I go to a lot of like Alabama alumni golf tournament, this alumni tournament, this celeb golf tournament, this, all these tournaments. So I've been doing that like all my life, basically. So I guess like maybe years ago, I'm like, dude, I'm gonna get lessons. Like enough's enough. So like I'll do I wasn't too consistent. So I'll do like one or two lessons like each off season. And like you kind of go here and then you do the football season and it just,
yep.
It's like golf is weird. Like I after doing that same thing for like legit probably 4 years, 4 or 5 years running of like doing two lessons and like you get, and then I realized like you just keep starting back from zero every time.
Yep.
So I had the NFLPA Classic in Mexico, and I was in Toronto, so it's freaking freezing. Like, this happened, like, 2 weeks ago, maybe. So it's freezing, so I couldn't actually
practice.
So, yeah. Like, this is still me being, like, super trash. Like, I'm still super trash before I go to Mexico. But I'm, like, I'm just going to be in the living room just swinging on air, trying to do all this stuff, envisioning. I kid you not, get to Mexico after both of my, like, the two guys on my team that were supposed to be legit, which we probably could have maybe won the tournament if they would have came.
And who was that?
Kyle Hamilton, Gino Stone. They're like, Kyle's really good. Kyle's, like, legit. So Gino is, he's not scratched, but he's a Parmesan guy. He's a par guy. So I get out there, and I'm like, I had Deshaun Elliott and Brandon. And I'm like, I don't know if they're good or bad at golf. I found out when we were at the driving range that they are not good at golf. So, and I'm the team captain. So I'm like, oh crap! Like this could be bad. Like this, I'm over here trying to coach them. I'm usually the guy getting coached whenever I play my foursome. So I get out there and I realize, like shortly, it's like I gotta like actually golf good. So I'm hitting off the driver. Pew, and I'm like, they're like, oh man, oh he can play. Like my teammates are like, oh you're good. I'm like, guys, I don't know how I'm doing this. Like, I have no idea. Like I'm hitting like wedges. Like it was the first time I can ever say like, and don't get me wrong, I was not playing great. We got last in the tournament. Let me just make that clear. We still got last, but it was the first time ever where it was like. You ever just been golfing? You're like, I don't even know how I'm doing this today. Yeah. I was in that type of zone, and I would lose a ball like every other hole. But it was just like, dang. Like, I like feel like what my coach was telling me all those. He kept telling me like every year, it's like, dude, I can't find your swing for you. Like, you got to find your swing. And then like, once you understand what you're supposed to do, then it just happened. I'm not gonna say it happened overnight because it took like 5 years. But practicing on the air in the living room. And also the pressure of, like, these people invited you to this tournament. You didn't submit your handicap. Now they're, like, visually watching you right now. You should probably hit this good so you can get invited back next year. And the pressure of my teammates kind of needed me to help so we could at least be somewhat competitive for the, like, last three spots. All that combined. And the golf is actually, like, fun. Usually I'm, like, yo, I'll take this hole off. You guys got it. Like, ah, like 15, I'm done for the day. Like, all right, I'll just putt. Like, usually do that. So, like, it's finally gotten there. So, the golf game, to answer your question, it's in the process, but it is my Instagram right now is like all golf.
Yeah, you go to your explore page, it's all golf.
My explore page is legit all golf. There's like zero football, zero women. It is like literally golf only. So that's like basically all I'm very obsessed now because I'm kind of understanding. I'm getting the better feel in the head. It's cool. I really have been waiting for it to warm up to play some golf. But it's been
a great off-season sport.
It's a great off-season
sport. Great off-season sport. Like, there's nothing better than a nice summer day and you're enjoying yourself. Nobody's bothering you on the golf course. You're just vibing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's probably got to be the best part about golf. And, I mean, we're both big golfers. We got to probably get around sometime because there's some really good courses in this. There's some, like, world-renowned courses that you wouldn't even think that are here, but they are. Like, there's just about 30 minutes north of here, there's a golf course that's ranked number one in all of Canada. Yeah. Beautiful, really? Beautiful golf course. It's called the National.
I like what I've – now that, like I said, I've only played 3 rounds of golf that I've enjoyed my entire life. So, and one was today.
And it was freezing.
Yeah, and it was freezing. But so since, like, when I was in Mexico, it was, like, the first – what I like about it is, like, you put your phone down and you really do, you like, check on it, like, maybe later, or you don't check on it at all. That's what I've kind of, like, it was cool to not be the guy that's, like, on his phone the entire day, which I usually am. Mm-hmm.
It's a nice escape.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like, my
team. It's therapeutic. Yeah, like, it is. It really
very
is.
Very therapeutic. Usually, when I play in these, like, tournaments, I'm usually that guy. It's, like, because if you suck at golf, it is not fun ever at all. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you. So it's like, you're just like, crap, man. Like, how many more holes we got? Dang. And it just seems like it takes forever. But now I just played 18 in the freezing, and it was like, dang. Like, this is.
You want to go right back out.
Yeah, it just goes by like crazy fast. So I'm excited for it to be a new hobby of mine. Like, I have bought plenty of golf stuff in the past. But it's not addictive. Been put to good use.
Yeah, it's addictive.
Sure.
It's addictive. It's like it's like how women are addicted to shopping, men are addicted to golfing and shopping for golf related stuff, right?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I just bought.
Like, you probably have a wardrobe of all stuff.
Yeah, I do. I literally bought like six. I got back from or leading up to Mexico. I bought like 6 pair of golf pants. Like, I'm like, I don't know why I needed 6 pair, but I do. So it was I guess now it'll be money well spent instead of just like
sitting there collecting dust.
Yeah.
We got to get a round in.
Yeah.
I think that's the next step. And if we do get a round in, I want to hear that score be, let's say, I think in the 90s is maybe a goal.
You know, 90s is a goal. Like, look, I'll be honest with you. I played pretty bad today. You know, I was 123. You know, that's bad. But I couldn't feel my hands. I feel like
golfing the course,
I could have been like at least 110. Like, I realized, I'm like, dang, like, what's going on? Like, I actually took my glove off to try to help get some feeling in my hands just because it was, I for some reason didn't think it was going to be cold, but then I realized it was like, it was snowing a little bit.
Yeah, it was snowing. It was snowing.
It was snowing, and then it was just.
Not golf weather, let's put it that way.
Not golf weather. Had a big old Canadian or Montclair hood, like, and I was like, I put the hood on. I thought about golfing in these big gloves that I had, but that was just not gonna. It was all around. Just the odds were against me. The odds were against me, for sure.
It's okay. Weather's only getting better, I believe your game's only getting better too. I believe in you.
Thank you.
Anyways, thank you so much for joining us, sitting down with us today, and chatting. Before we finish, you also have a podcast. Do you want to plug that? Let everyone know.
Yeah, guys, tune in to Punchline. We're on the podcast wherever you guys get your pods. And we talk. What do we talk about?
It's awesome. It's a great show.
We talk a little bit about my life, about football, about other sports. I don't even know really what we talk about. I have a couple of rants on there pretty often. But it's fun. So tune in.
Amazing. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.